Okay, this is our hour, Phone Calls with Christian Von Lehr. Get ready to let your fingers do the walking. We will be right back. And welcome back, Christian Von Lehr with us. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Of everything you've done in terms of being clairvoyant, a psychic, a medium, is there a favorite here, Christian?
There is. When I was younger, of course, these abilities I've had all my life, I developed an ability called claircognizance, something we haven't mentioned yet. That's sort of a clear knowing. You just sort of know it all. But you don't always know it. You're set up for that. And so you have this, we call it a download, where you're getting multiple vibrations at once. It's too much for being able to see or to hear or to feel, so it sounds like a big tone that comes through to you. And it sets you up for what you're supposed to do in the future. And so I had to go to Europe with a bunch of people from the company I worked with. They all got afraid to do this speech to 25 different countries. And I was the young one of the group. And so they all got like tongue-tied. So they pushed me out there to deliver the message from our corporation to 25 countries. And I did it nonstop and got a standing ovation without any preparation at all. But that's because the download was giving me all the information in advance. So that discovery of claircognizance was my greatest achievement for me.
Let's go to some calls for you, Christian. They're lining up. We go to Greg in Studio City, California to get things going. Gregory, take it away.
Yes, about 25 to 30 years ago, I spoke with a medium and I spoke with a psychic. And the psychic came off more like a counselor and the medium was more precise. So I'm wondering, like for a booster shot here, if your guest sees something coming up for me in the business realm.
Okay.
What do you need to see something, Christian?
Not so much. Any slight form of communication, like he just talked on the phone, is fine.
Okay.
Writing is actually very good. That's why written readings work really well. So I already got the vibration that I'm looking for. Let me handle something with this caller when he mentioned the difference between the medium and the psychic and
sure.
The psychic being a counselor. Counseling is actually a big part of this process because we have to convince you, because you have a mental mind that's analyzing, convince you to listen to what we're saying. So, and also trying to get you to make up for lost time. So counseling is actually an important thing, so I'm not against that, okay? Now, business is the focus you wanted to mention, Greg. You're going to have to get out of your way in life, and by that I mean, Greg, you're going to have to see the greatness of potential within you. You've been held back in life, and you're letting yourself jump through the hoops that other people are putting in front of you or jumping over the hurdles other people put in front of you. All these hurdles in life are holding you back. You don't have to jump over them. You can go around them. You can go underneath them. You can burn them down, okay? But you have to have a clear image of what you want to be in the end, what your life is supposed to be about, Greg, and keep putting your focus on that because that is the truth for you, the right thing for you. The universe will step in at that moment because you're trying to do the right thing, and it will automatically remove the barriers, and so things will start happening automatically for you. So you actually, it looks to me, Greg, like you want to do something that has your name on it or that would be about you. Is that correct?
More or less, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I've established myself a few years ago in a field, and then the older you get, you stick with it as best you can. Or I'm one of those people that, like George saying, he wants to die with his boots on.
Yeah. Are you willing to go for greatness, though?
Certainly.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. You have to be bigger than what you've seen around you, or it isn't really a path, okay? It's got to be something that uniquely you're qualified for. So if your mind is already making up an image of what you want it to come out like, okay? So focus on that and start working on that as if that was happening. Present yourself as if you're already that way. Define yourself that way. Call yourself that name, okay? And start making it happen tomorrow, not 10 years from now, when everything says it's okay to be great.
Yeah. Now, do you see something coming to me, though, like now? That was an explanation of what I should look for.
It's interesting because you mentioned counseling before when you did your intro. Counseling is an ability that you have. You have an ability to give advice to other people, right?
Sure.
Yeah. See, that tends to come across as your greatest strength for you. And actually, the color green that I see in your shoulders implies wellness or counseling. I see green with blue, which is more counseling, by the way. So your ability to innately know something and advise people is really where your success should come across greater as opposed to practical things. What kind of work do you do, by the way?
I'm in entertainment.
Entertainment?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's perfect. So that's an expressive field, okay? So if you're going to add entertainment to it, that's a creative person that actually knew things in past lives, not just this one. And so the world is not providing you enough teachers, so you're drawing into yourself to bring out that creativity, because you did it at some point in time in your past. So do that and trust yourself more than you trust the world around you, even though what you want to create or express seems different, it's going to be what's going to work for you. That's why I was asking if you're willing to be great, which means you cannot be afraid of the world. You must do what you know you need to be doing.
Greg, thank you for calling. Christian, when you get these feelings, how do you react? I mean, what happens to you?
Well, what I try to do is not use my brain so much. I mentioned that. So I try to get into the vibe of how the impression's coming across. And so, like with Greg, I actually try to put myself in him, and I'm looking at how he's reacting to the influences around him, and I see that he's allowing himself to be blocked, which we talked about earlier. But yet his potential is far greater than where he's at right now. So I simply need to convince him that he has to be going for that higher goal. But I have the full impression of that.
Okay, we go next to Jeremy, truck driving in Minnesota, east of the Rockies. Hello, Jeremy. Thank you.
How you doing?
Hi, Jeremy.
Thanks for my call. Hi. My question is, I don't know for sure if I've ever ran into my soulmate. I don't know. I feel that at one point I have, but then that person passed away, and it was somebody I had feelings for since the second grade.
Well, did you actually have a romantic relationship with that person?
No.
Okay.
Never have.
I didn't think so. Okay. So first of all, the answer to your question is no, you have not found your soulmate. You're finding things closer to your soulmate, but you're not there yet. To find your soulmate, you have to be who you agreed to be, Jeremy, which means you have to be the character. You have to have the interest. You have to develop yourself educationally of the way you look to be, because the other person's looking for that. That was the agreement. Okay. So instead of when we say looking for a soulmate, you have to do your work also. So your time of drawing soulmates, by the way, is in the month of November every year. We all have a particular term of when we draw soulmates, so yours is November. Is your birthday within 3 months of November, either direction?
It was March 12th, actually.
Okay. So,
well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. So normally your soulmate will be within 2 months to the left, in this case, since you're male, so that would make it like August, September, October, right. So September, October should be the birthday, September, October, November, of the soulmate you're drawing. So you need to look at that compatibility to you. You're a Pisces, I take it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So October, November would be perfect in this case because that would be a Scorpio and the proper vibration for you. Soulmate should match your vibration. That would be perfect. But you're drawing a very strong person. You know that, right? You're looking for a strong person. Yes, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. So admit that and go for that. And you have to make a contribution, too. And so the contribution looks like you're trying to make, Jeremy, is that you want to be nurturing, developing, and supporting. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. So you need to own that, okay, so that you focus your attention on those kinds of people. But you must change pretty much where you're looking these days and who you're looking at, because obviously that hasn't worked so far. So be willing to look for something totally different or in a different place, okay? And I see so many palm trees around your connection to soulmate, and you're in Minnesota. I don't know if they have palm trees there.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So there has to be a tropical connection. But let me show you a trick. Although we have to create the setting of how we met soulmates in the past, it can be a metaphor. So, and I'm seeing two palm trees. So if we can find a place, even if it's a restaurant that has a sign that says Twin Palms, that would be an example of the place you need to be, see? And the month was November, but the day is around the 14th. So basically, want to get you out and about around the place with two palm trees around November 14th, around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, plus or minus 2 hours. You could even go plus or minus 2 days. I'm going to tell you something, Jeremy, that men have a problem when they meet the soulmate. I can give you the name, what they're wearing, which I do, their eye color, everything about them. You can show up, and then you'll get afraid because men actually aren't ready to handle that. So don't be afraid when you meet your soulmate at this time, okay?
What do people get afraid of?
Well, it's different with men and women, but men aren't used to having that kind of vulnerability because men tend to shield their emotions, right? And they tend to be in control, and they're analytical. So all these things get in the way of a soulmate for a male.
Ah.
Women, it's a totally different story.
Ever dabble with a Ouija board?
I won't do it because for me,
it
would allow anything in. For someone that's just developing or anyone off the street, they won't have any effect because they're not relating to the side anyway.
This weekend, somebody called me and wanted to invite me to a Ouija board party, and I went, no.
Yeah, the thing is, it actually
can
work.
I'm not going to that.
It's a gateway, but it's an unfiltered gateway.
Now, there is one person out there that loves the Ouija board. She thinks it's very positive.
Mm-hmm.
She's listening now.
It can be, but it can't. There's no guarantee that it's going to stay that way.
No, not at all. Next up, we go to Colleen in Rockland, California. Colleen, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
I'm here.
Hi, Christian.
Hi. Maybe I can answer that question.
Yeah.
What's the nature of your question, Colleen?
I've been on medication that has really, I think, blocked my emotions, blocked my feelings. I have bipolar disorder.
Okay.
I never thought it was that until I left the Bay Area after losing my husband, and I then went to Paris and then went up to Montreal, and I was an empty nester, and then I lost my dog, lost my parents, lost my cat. So it was just
too much.
I was just being set apart from everything that I had.
This is also a pattern in your romantic life, I take it, too, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Has the pattern also been that the people you've been attracting, Colleen, have been unavailable to you for one reason or another?
No, they've been as sick as I have been.
Okay, so that's still unavailable.
They have not been good.
Right.
They've been horrible choices. My ex-husband was a multiple personality. He was manic depressive. And the previous one, we just were never on the same parallel line.
All right, but who chose him? You chose him, right?
I chose him, the last one, and the other one chose me.
Okay, but still, you have to understand that in a relationship, you're choosing each other. So you have to take some responsibility that you're not always choosing correctly, okay?
Right.
These things, plus the unavailability that you're achieving in life, is a reflection usually on your childhood. Were they unavailable, divorced, your parents?
My mother was. My dad was.
So the answer is yes, then, see?
Yeah, and I was a very sensitive child.
I got it.
I was real wide open psychically, and it came back to me in my teens, and I had to shut it down because it was scaring me too much.
Yeah, there's so much to say for you. I'm going to have to get in here, okay? I'm just trying to show you that your childhood conditioning sets you up because before you're age 10, you take everything in as gospel truth, okay? So you're allowing yourself to always draw relationships that are unavailable. So you have to change that, okay? But this is also affecting your health, and this is because you're born psychic also, right? 12 to 19 was probably very traumatic around you. A lot of emotion, correct? Yes.
Right.
Say yes. The answer is yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. And also, there was a Ouija board in your life too, right?
How did you? You could see it?
Yeah, yeah.
There was.
But see, that's a problem.
When everything went downhill.
That's right. That's a problem for people that are actually born with the psychic ability, because you're allowing the lower elements of the other side, if they want to take over for you. They will make you emotional. They're going to make you ill, mainly with digestive issues. So you've been having digestive issues, right? You've been having hormonal issues, correct? The answer should be yes. Yes?
Yeah. Okay. Probably the latter.
We got to move faster here. Okay. Yeah, yes. But the answer is yes. And what I'm trying to say is they also are trying to get you on a mind drug, too. Has to be something that affects your synapses. So that's an antidepressant or muscle relaxant. Is that yes also?
Yeah, I'm on Depakote and
Great. So let's fix this, okay? You need to start drinking a tea called Passion Flower Tea mixed with Golden Seal Tea. It tricks the brain. It makes it look like an artificial antidepressant, but it gets you off of it. Until we have removed the reaction you're having in the brain, you're not going to get beyond this problem. So this tea does nothing but trick the brain. After 30 days, you drink it for 30 days, you're going to be better. But you have to fix the digestive tract to fix your hormones. I want you to eat baby pumpkin seeds forever, 5 to 15 a day, and you're going to have to start taking a probiotic and amino acid complex. Your problems will start going away in about 4 days.
Okay.
Is that fast enough for you?
Yeah.
Now guess what?
Here's
your bonus gift. You're also going to start getting about 7 years younger because you've been artificially aged.
Nothing wrong with that. And give her that tea one more time, Chris.
Passion Flower Tea and Golden Seal Tea mixed together.
You can find it mixed together?
No, you have to mix them yourself.
You have to do it yourself.
It's called an artificial antidepressant. It's the way we get people off of them, but it predisposes you to fear and illness, the drug that you've been on.
How'd you learn all this stuff?
You know, since I was born weird, right, all I did was study all my life. And I happen to be a really good reader, so I've just been studying for so many decades, you know.
When you were a kid, were you doing readings for people then?
Oh, I've had an amazing life, but I didn't know about psychism or readings. I just sort of knew things, and everybody thought I was kind of weird because I sort of knew everything. And I just thought it was because I studied well, right? But the thing is that in the moment, you know things that you didn't study, right? And so I eventually went through life becoming a counselor, and actually I was a very high counselor, probably the longest-term expert in computers, but I also used to counsel the court system. So I have a natural ability to be receiving information, so to speak.
You can tell that you love doing what you do, Christian.
Oh, good, good.
Let's go to first-time caller Randy in Huntsville, Alabama. Randy, you're up with us. Go ahead.
You every night. I can't wait for you to come on to 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody thinks I'm half crazy. But and Christian, boy, I love listening to you. That's the first time I've heard you.
Oh, thanks, Randy.
And some things, boy, if you can read my mind, I'm telling you what, you've got a million things running through your mind right now.
I know. And, you know, some people are much more open than other people. You know, those that are actually open and call in, the ones that can actually get success spiritually in life. You've been seeing nature spirits in your life, huh?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I went through a divorce, so I've come back from the
back. Around you. That's the thing, you know?
And I didn't, he was another man. I never thought about that. I thought it was because of my leg, but I learned how to walk again and all that. And
right.
Anyway, but I used to sit out on the porch, and even the neighbors would say, what's up with Randy? And Cynthia, she would kind of laugh and say, he's watching his tree, friends.
There you go.
And, I thought I was half going a little bit crazy just watching out there. I would see little people. I'd actually see little people wave at me sometimes, bigger people and little people. And they would joke at me. And one of the guys come by one time and says, Randy, I think you see a nature spirit. Well, I didn't know what nature spirits were. I asked my sister, looking up on a computer, and she said, 80 different types of nature spirits. I said, well, these are... she said, you really weird. She said, you really see that kind of stuff? I see faces, and
sure.
I can look at a curtain and look at a face, and I can pick out sometimes 15 faces in that curtain. I can look at them.
Actually, what you just said, Randy, is actually really, really smart. When you're clairvoyant or psychic or have that ability, you don't have to just try and control your mind to pick up things. You could actually look at the patterns of the wood, the grain, and the floor, or a shingle, or the leaf of a tree. Because there's so many dimensions to these other places, your brain will automatically start making a picture out of those grains or impressions to literally show you what you're looking for. To have the ability you're having, Randy, does mean you had to have had it in past lives, too. So you have to consider this to be normal for you, regardless if the world around you says otherwise. And if you're drawing nature spirits and that kind of life to you, you're also drawing angels to you that can help you. You mentioned you had health issues, right?
Yeah.
They can actually help you, especially in the immediate time frame. You can draw on hundreds of them. So your life is technically geared to be more magical than other people, and you should pursue that. Because of your draw to nature spirits, you're going to like the elements too, since nature spirits are drawn to gold and metal and silver and gems and trees and water. You're drawn to those things too, correct?
All right, Christian, we're at the top of the hour break, the bottom of the hour break, so we're going to come right back and take some final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Christian Von Lehr as we talk about his world of the psychic world, indeed. And we'll be back with him in a moment. But now, here's a health moment for you from Pharmacist Ben, brought to you by CriticalHealthNews.com. And welcome back to Coast, Christian Von Lehr with us, your phone calls as well. Christian, as a clairvoyant, as a medium, as a psychic, we all have these similar abilities, but do you find a distinct difference between those three categories?
George, psychism is sort of our a basic level where we start picking up impressions as they vibrate off of our aura. And so basically it's a vibration that we pick up. But clairvoyance is the ability to actually see. But clairvoyance is a broad field. In addition to seeing, we can feel, we can empathize, we understand what's going on. Also, clairvoyance includes the ability to smell and taste. So it's very, very broad. Now, mediumship takes these abilities and allows you to communicate with the other side or higher. And that's an extra ability all on its own, to be able to pick up what they're saying and where they're coming from and convey that and to communicate with them. So they're all psychic. Everyone's psychic that has these abilities. Clairvoyance adds visualness to it. But mediumship adds the ability to communicate, which means to understand where they're coming from.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Curtis in Toronto, Canada, to get us going on the international line. Hello, Curtis. Good morning.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Oh, I was surprised. I didn't think I'd actually get in. And hello, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Curtis. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from?
Toronto.
I'm calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
I have a really big question. I'm not sure how to ask you, Christian, but Well, I'll make it a three-in-one question, so I won't make it sound like it's in three parts. But I'm a writer and actor, and I'm in the literary arts, and I believe I was actually meant to be in the entertainment industry. I think for a long period of my life, basically, it's been a case where I haven't been in a serious relationship for the last 14 years, and I'm 40 years old right now, and I'm turning 41 next month. I get strange dreams where something you mentioned early on in your conversation with George was basically you see stuff basically rolling like it's a movie going on, and I see my dreams coming out in that same fashion, like I'm on movie sets, and I'm seeing a 360 view of the whole scenario of what's going on, not in that particular movie, or it's just what I'm in there. So it's almost like astral projection. So my question is to you, basically, is what do you see for me in regards to my career intertwined with love and my psychic abilities? Because I think my abilities are on the fritz, and I think I'm more powerful than I realize than I am, or so. But I'm trying to make more sense of it, and for the long haul of where I'm going towards.
Okay. Well, it's kind of intriguing, Curtis, that so many people on this show actually have a psychic ability. That's really great. In your case, we have a bit of a complication. The first part, that you're a writer, actor, and do things in the media, does mean, yeah. As with Greg earlier on, that you want to be creative, so you have to go to your higher self, find out what your message is, basically. So there's some purpose about your writing, what you're trying to get across. Those will all mean something. So those are paramount, and they're identifying who you are. Finding love would have to be finding someone that actually relates to those things. But in your case, this writing and acting that you're doing is also you're trying to get into the character of who you're supposed to be, who you agreed to be for your soulmate. So are you seeing yourself in these things that you're writing or acting in?
Well, I've been in stuff that it's on that got widely noticed, like especially on YouTube, but I still like that. Like I've had like 5 children's books that I've had published in the last 5.5 years. So I've been writing professionally for that mere period of time. And I'm transitioning now to write 8 novels, basically.
Good for you.
Do all these books have something to do with children?
Well, the 5 children's books, they did have. So it's
yeah,
like
that's
I'm
what
working,
I thought. Okay.
I've worked from one phase to moving now to the next chapter of my life of working on more adult books, basically, of what I've done. So, but yeah, because I have like one book called The Complete Tales of the Dildebirds, which were one a critic actually from New Zealand criticized my book in a good way, stating that it was more like Dr. Seuss, and I didn't expect that coming from him, because I never read my book.
That's not all bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, actually, in your case, it's kind of good, Curtis, because see, what I'm trying to get to here is that you were not communicated to with properly as a child, so people didn't quite understand you, and you couldn't get your message across to them. So what you're doing is you're going towards a younger group, so you're trying to have influence on them. Even you're acting in your writing, you're trying to convey something to them. This is why we wrote children's books in the past. They were actually spiritual devices. We put morals and things in those books. So you're trying to communicate some of those basic values, and the world around you doesn't tend to respond to them, so you try to go to a younger grouping. Okay. But it does mean that you are a communicator and you have something to say, and you're trying to find out who you are so you can keep saying that. And so in love, you're going to have to find someone, or you have to decide that it's going to be someone that appreciates what you're doing, that you are a communicator. So they have to listen to you and help you focus, not do the work, but help you focus. And so they have to be able to appreciate that. Your creativeness, by the way, does mean that you're not going to want to jump through the hoops that everyone else is doing, so you're kind of unique that way. So your success in life will be to continue what you're doing, just knowing why you're doing it. And love will happen based on the factors that are appreciating you. But let me tell you some things about your soulmate timing. Since your time is in December, it makes it kind of romantic because it's the holidays, right? Especially since your perfect soulmate date is the 24th, plus or minus a few days, you probably are very drawn to holidays, yes?
Very much.
Yeah, exactly. Because, see, everything in life is basically trying to condition you to recognize what you're looking for in a soulmate. So you want to put your attention on those last few months of the year, and actually your life should be luckier around that time of year and always, too. When you find your soulmate, you're probably going to do better in your writing also, because basically all of that is your path. Okay, so you're also looking for a very romanticized lover, yes?
Yes, that's very true, because I feel like I've like
could have been sympatico or security.
Sorry?
It could have been sympatico or security, but I get that you're trying to draw the romantic one, okay?
Yeah, it seems like there have been like three periods of my life where I've come close to feeling it, like it's nudging at me, it's almost like an itch, like a very good itch, but it's like I'm close, but it's failed in terms of they weren't right.
What I don't want you to do, Curtis, is don't look so much. Just look at all your natural proclivities, your interests, your desires, and try and put yourself in those settings, in those places, like the things you're writing about. Put yourself there because you're really trying to be the character of some play. And what you're doing in life is the play, but you're a character, okay? Now, when you find the soulmate, what are you going to want to tell that soulmate when you see them? It's very important, the first few things you say. They're looking for you to say something to them. It's probably something that wasn't said to you as a child. You were not identified as a child, right? You weren't validated. Does that make sense?
I was the youngest. I'm the youngest in my family.
Okay, yeah. You had to keep looking for the information. That's what I meant, what's coming around you, okay? So you need that ability to speak what's going on with you the way it goes on with you. Have you been drawing people like that at all to you in life?
Of late? Because I actually saw myself more spiritually awakened when I was 33, because I had a lot of bad series of bad dating scenarios, and when I hit rock bottom in that, it really awoken me up as a person, and then I look at people very much differently than I ever did before. And
that's because
you're very
sensitive, though, right? You're also very sensitive.
Okay, time limit for him there, Christian. We got to move on to a few more other callers before we wrap things up. By the way, when you wrote Seeing and Sensing Gnomes, tell me about that.
Seeing and Sensing Gnomes was sort of a message from the nature spirits themselves. They realized the world wants to perceive them, and that's where we understood that actually they're easy to see. We just have a block to seeing them because we're so conditioned to not being able to. So it's a way of getting us to look at nature and the distraction of nature, like the leaves and flowers on a tree, since they're in those things. They can use the outlines of those things to actually start creating the impression of them, so it's a way to easily get to see them. But they're trying to get people to to communicate with them, see them, and talk with them, because nature spirits want to help people with their lives. And so that was just a technique to show people that we can all see. But also there was an underlying thing about that book, is the nature spirits are trying to say that we really have to start getting out of this mental blocking problem-solving mode that we're in, and understand that we actually came from an existence, remember Atlantean times, where we actually were more open, more creative, more spiritual, could see things, and everything was more normal that was psychic, because we actually used those abilities in the past. So it's trying to get people to open up.
You had mentioned in one of your books, Magical Powers and Mystical Beings, you mentioned the jinns. I thought they were evil.
No. That Hollywood, probably, right? No, jinn and leprechauns are pretty much the same thing. Remember, we were talking earlier that leprechauns and nature's people don't look the same around the world. So that would be the Middle Eastern Arabian version of what leprechauns are, but they're the same thing.
Okay, we've got time for maybe one more quick call. Susan in Sacramento. Go ahead, Susan. You're up.
Hi. I have two part-time jobs. One of them I just got. I love the job, but I was wondering if it's going to work out for me.
Okay, let me.
And we just have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, it's going to work out, but we need a position of authority for you. Are you actually being able to express yourself as someone, as the go-to person, or the person with the answers? Isn't that what you're looking for?
I'm in sales.
Okay, so
on my own, that's why I like it, because
okay,
I need to be independent and maybe not have too many bosses around.
Right.
But the problem is, it's very, very high set goals for the store I'm at, and it's going to be a big challenge. But I'm ready to take it on.
Are you willing to be successful?
Yes.
Good. So you get out of the way, Susan, and let the universe help you. Since the vibration of your energy across your shoulders is yellow, it means you're supposed to be a communicator. Sales
is
part of communications, so that should work fine. But don't try so hard mentally. Let it happen naturally. So if you can be yourself when you're communicating, communicate why this product or this service, and don't justify it overly, but just communicate why. You have a very good ability to do that. You'll succeed. But you don't have to put a number or limit on what you can accomplish. The universe knows what you're going for to make you happy. So let it help you, okay?
Christian, for people, again, who want your books or get a hold of you, tell us.
Best location is the website itself, Mist of the Oracle, www.myst.com. OFTHEORACLE.com.
Great. Christian, thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you.
St. Patty's Day to you.
And to you also.
On our next Coast to Coast program, John D'Souza joins me as we talk about his work as a paranormal investigator. By the way, he's a former national security investigator for the U.S. government. So he's going to deal with the intervention of law enforcement, with stories from civilians, all dealing with the paranormal. Pretty exciting stuff, so make sure you're part of that. And, of course, as we've been mentioning all night long, we're wrapping up St. Patty's Day and a little tradition here on Coast to Coast, always ending it with some kind of related song. Christian Wild, one of our great guests, his website, myheartbook.com, has always left us with a great song, Oh Danny Boy. So sit back, relax. You don't have to be Irish to like this song. Here you go, from Christian.
Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. It's you must go and I must fly. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead, as dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear the song you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. For you will bend and tell me that you love me, and I shall sleep in peace until you come to.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.